I want you to turn tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Probably some familiar scripture, but I just want you to think for just a moment with me tonight. And I know the weather's bad and stormy, and I'll not keep you long, but I want to look at this passage of scripture real quickly this evening, beginning in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time of love and a time of hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? For I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Father, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. And Lord, this evening as we gather here together, we ask that you might take these words and use it tonight to bless our hearers, bless tonight our hearts, lift up Jesus Christ. Show us tonight, Lord, what you've done for us through him. And for all that's said and all that's done, may he receive the honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. There are three books in the Old Testament that are basically attributed to King Solomon. There's the book of the Song of Solomon, which evidently was written by him when he was a young man. And then, of course, we have the book of Proverbs, which was written and gives us great insight into wisdom. And then we have here the book of Ecclesiastes. He calls himself the preacher in this particular book tonight. And he is, as he writes this book, he talks about the theme of life, or the theme of Ecclesiastes is that life is meaningless without God. Not that life is meaningless. He says over and over that life is vanity. This is vanity and this is emptiness. This is meaningless. But he always goes on to explain that it's that way because men are without God. You see, tonight you can have everything. And you can read the list, and especially in the first two chapters that Solomon talks about all that he had acquired in life. You can have riches and power. You can have popularity. You can have everything that people so much desire this evening. But they find that life still has no meaning because all of those things are going to fade away. All of those things are temporal things. And Solomon, as he writes this book, is writing to us tonight to show us that without God, there is no meaning to life. He gets in chapter number 12, and as he closes out the book, he states this very simple statement. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, without God tonight, life is meaningless. In the book of Psalms, chapter 16, and I think it's verse number 11, the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, you think this evening that if somebody has a job and they're laboring on that job and they have a family, they have a wife, and they have children, and every payday they come in and they got the pay from their paycheck, and they come home and they bought presents for the children and give their wife the money, and everything is wonderful. But suppose that same individual, instead of coming home, he only sends home his paycheck. That might satisfy for a little while, but pretty soon the children are going to want to know, where's daddy? Where's my husband? Because you see, it's not the benefits of God tonight. And it's not the benefits that we gain in this life that brings us fullness of joy. It's being in the presence of God. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I'm amazed as I watch the animal world. I have some cats, and I keep them around because they keep the mice and the snakes away. And when I feed them, and sometimes I look out on the patio, and it's always amazed me how a cat can sleep in the most crazy positions. But they can get fed, and they'll lay out there on that patio, and they're just laying there in that sunshine, just all stretched out asleep, nothing bothering them in the world. They're just contented. They've got something to eat and something to drink, and that's all they're worried about. But you know, man tonight's not that way. He's always seeking something. And what we're seeking tonight is to be really in the presence of God. We need to understand that this evening. And that's what Solomon is saying here in our text tonight. He makes a statement in the final verses that I read to you. Look at verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And the key words to that verse tonight is very simply, in his time. In his time. As we could look at the previous verses before that, and we find that, I think if I'm not mistaken, I counted them, I think there are 14 contrasting statements that Solomon makes in the previous verses. The time to be born and a time to die. And you begin to read those, and I've heard people preach on these things, and sometimes I begin to wonder about this. Is this what Solomon is teaching us as they go through all of the things that this means and this and that? I think sometimes we get so bogged down and we want to overthink everything. We don't really understand. And I believe what Solomon is very simply saying here is, it's in his time. All of these things are going to happen. This is part of life. There's a time to be born. We didn't choose that time. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. All of these things are controlled by a sovereign God. And this evening, as Solomon begins to talk about these tonight, and he said that in his time, not under our control, but he says very simply, God is going to make everything beautiful in his. In his time. Now you think about that. Not in our time. Not tonight on following a schedule. You see, we want to make God follow a schedule. We want to put God in a box. We want to say we want it done just like this, and we want to do it just like the other. And we're living in a time when churches want to program everything. And we want to make sure that all of our sermons are just right. When we went to the associational meeting last Sunday evening, and they had the screen, and they were putting the words to the songs, and then they put Brother Wes's sermon up on the screen. Somebody said, "Don't you need one of them?" I said, "I wouldn't know what to put up there, because sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to say next." Nothing wrong with that. I'm not being critical. But we want to can this thing and put God in a box. But you know, it's in His time. We need to get that in our heads tonight. It's not tonight going to always happen when I want it to happen. It's not going to happen when you want it to happen. But it's when the Lord decides that it's going to happen. Gloria Gaither wrote a song that said, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was bitterness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life." You know, tonight the Lord made something beautiful of our life. He understood our sinfulness. He understood our wickedness. He understood all of those things tonight. And He sent His Son to be our Savior. And He reached down and made something beautiful of our life. So what Solomon, I believe, here this tonight is saying to you and saying to I, that we may not understand right now. We may not understand the things that happen around us and through us. I read a sermon not long ago by a gentleman, I can't even remember his name now, called "Why Do the Righteous Die Young?" And he didn't know, and I don't know either. I don't know why sometimes bad things happen to good people. Somebody says, "There's none good." I understand what you're saying, but understand what I'm saying tonight. I don't understand that. I don't understand all that things happen to people in their life. But I've come to this conclusion as I read these verses, and as I travel down the journey of life, I may not understand it. I may not really ever understand it. But somehow, some way, God takes that and make something beautiful out of it in His time. When I pastored another church, I had a lady that played the piano, very sweet lady. And she had a son that was born the same day or the day before that Ken David was born. And he had the cord was wrapped around his neck, and he died of asphyxiation before they could ever deliver him. And one night, I don't even remember what I was preaching. And suddenly she stood up and said, "I got to say something." And I said, "Well, say on, young lady." She talked about when the baby died, and she said, "I didn't understand." But she said, "My husband sitting right here wouldn't come to church with me. He didn't see any need, but said after that baby died, he started coming to church and he got saved. He's a lot better husband." He said God did something out of that. We may not ever understand it, folks. We may not ever see the results. But it's in God's time, not my time. God will make something beautiful out of it. You know, He's the only one that can do it. And you think about it. I can't do it. I have no explanation. I've told you before, I've listened to a lot of sermons about that, of why God doesn't heal all the saints, why bad things happen to good people, why do the righteous die young, I've heard of sermons by some of the greatest preachers that have ever lived on those subjects. And I still confess to you, I don't know. I don't have an understanding at times. And I can't make something beautiful out of it. I really can't. I can't walk into a funeral home when a young father has died and left behind his children and his wife and make something beautiful out of that. I can't walk into a home tonight that has been devastated by some other tragedy and make something beautiful out of it. I can't walk into a hospital room where somebody's been told they have terminal cancer and they only have a short time to live and make something beautiful out of it. I don't even know what to say. I've learned a few things not to say, but I don't really know what to say. But I've learned this. In His time, God can use it and make something beautiful out of it. You see, this is the Old Testament version, I believe, of Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Tonight, He takes these things that He talks about, these times of our lives, these seasons of our lives, and He makes it beautiful in His time. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England during the Second World War, had planned his own funeral before he died. At his funeral, after the sermon was delivered, suddenly a bugler appeared on the left, high up on a wall, and played taps. I don't know if you've ever heard that song. I'm sure most of you have. I remember many years ago down in New Iberia, Louisiana, I had to participate in the burial of a young soldier who had been killed in Vietnam, and I was part of the guard, that honor guard, and just as we finished firing the 21-gun salute, the bugler that had rode the bus with us, I didn't know where he was, and all at once he'd went off behind some bushes out here, and he played taps. Well, that's the lonesomest sound, the loneliest sound I've ever heard in my life, as he was playing taps in that graveyard down in New Iberia, Louisiana. I can imagine there as that taps was being played. But just as that bugler quit playing taps, another one rose on the right side and played Reveille. That's the getting up song. When you hear that, you have to get out of your bed and salute the flag and you're ready to go. And you see, even though Winston Churchill died, he was giving a testimony of the taps, but he said, I'm not over. It's not finished. God will make something beautiful out of even this tonight. God tonight makes something beautiful out of all of these things. Then he says, verse number 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart. And the word world there is a word that can also be translated eternity. You see, He put something in us tonight about eternity. We have a void. We're aging. You say, I'm only 11 years old. You're 8. I was 11 years old at once. One time. I had two young teenagers on my bus the other day, and they were doing something they shouldn't do, and I had to separate them, a boy and a girl. And the boy looked at me, and I said, young man, don't look at me like that. I was your age one time. I know what's going on, believe it or not. But we're aging. We don't like it. We really don't. We get makeup. We got hair pieces. We try to cover it up. But we're aging. The other reason we try to cover it up, because we've got something out in the future. And people tonight don't understand, without God, what's going to happen in the future. They have a determined future, but they don't understand it. He's put eternity in our hearts. He's put a void there. We're searching. We're looking. We're wanting. Then we die. Something happens. I read something the other day and I thought, pretty accurate. It said the main job of a mortician is to camouflage death. Now you think about it. We do, don't we? We camouflage death. We no longer have funeral services. We have celebration of life services. And we change all of these things because we don't think about death. Because on the inside, we know God's put something there. The Holy Spirit keeps speaking to us tonight. God tonight is saying to you and He's saying to I, we go through these seasons of our life. He'll make things beautiful out of them. And He can even make our death beautiful tonight because He's provided a remedy through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's provided a home in heaven. He's provided a body that'll never hurt, never ache, and never age. Well, I'm looking forward to that. God has set eternity in my heart. I'm bound for eternity. That's where we're all going tonight. Dr. Ray Steadman, former pastor of Pensacola Baptist Church and president of Pensacola Baptist University, great preacher, said one time that one of the professors in his math department said, Dr. Steadman, eternity begins where computation leaves off. And he said, what do you mean? He said, when man can't figure it out, that's where eternity begins. And man can't figure out eternity on his own. It only comes from God. Eternity in our heart. That's why men tonight try to camouflage it. Why they want to dodge it. But they can't do it. Well, we could talk on and on. Real quickly. No man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We have a thirst. We have something in us tonight that to learn. We have vast knowledge. It's amazing the knowledge that we have today. But do you realize we never really create anything? I've heard people say they're a creative genius. No, they're not. We never really create anything. You know what we do? We simply discover what God's already put there. Now, there's things out there I really don't understand. There's a lot of people smarter than me that figure all of this stuff out. But all they're discovering is what God's already put there. And we'll never learn it all because we'll never be as intelligent as the Lord tonight. The main thing we need to realize tonight is that in it all, it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. You're in God's hands. I'm in God's hands. The whole world's in His hands tonight. And I say hallelujah. Thank God. I'm in the hands of the great God of glory tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Lucy and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you to take this very simple and brief message. Use it tonight in our hearers' lives. Help us tonight to go through this walk of life, realizing you are in charge and you're going to make something beautiful out of even the bad times. In Jesus' name.